Welcome to Overtime on Inferno, your weekly roundup of all the biggest stories in CSGO. My name is Logan Reimhap. This is AZ-esque. We don't even have a fun, witty intro today because we are so stacked on time because there's so many random shit that happened in the last like 2 weeks that we need to talk about. So much so that Mouse winning Pro League is literally not in my show notes.
Yeah, I kind of forgot that happened. I mean, Pro League's kind of just a bit of a footnote anyway, generally. Do you know what I mean?
It's like, yeah. It's an actual problem. I have so much here, and
none of it includes.
None of it involves Mouse Sports. I don't even talk about Blast. We literally have like 8 different roster moves that happened out of fucking nowhere.
So, for what it's worth, guys, Mouse won Pro League. let's move on.
So let's start. We're going to start in Asia and work our way towards America. I think that's...
makes as much sense as anything else. Yeah.
I mean, yeah, I don't have a better order. Okay. Rare Adam, Ty Lue, and Wings Up all made roster moves in the last week.
Like, keeping... I have to look at it every so often just to remind myself who's now on which team. Right?
So, I sent you a message the other day on Twitter. And I'll explain what it is for everyone. So Eminem's reporter for Blix and Dust 2. Definitely Blix. Definitely Dust 2. But he tweeted out something that we had said on the podcast, which was, Ty Lue has a 12-man roster right now, which reminded me, we never talked about the fact that Ty Lue, like a week ago, signed the Cyclone roster. Yeah. Which I think we... had rumored, and I think it was relatively known.
Yeah.
But that left some interesting things on the table because their entire other roster, and also the last 3 rosters they've had, including Attacker, Summer, Dan King, Slowly, Aristo, Freeman, and Score, were now all on their bench at the same time. Dude,
Freeman is far too good to be on the bench for Ty Lue. Like Freeman, I mean, probably Score as well, but like Freeman is a good player. Like, I'm surprised he's not able to get on Rare Atom or something. Like, he's a good player.
So, while Ty Lue signed the Cyclone roster, Rare Atom signed their own new lineup because they lost it eventually to Ty Lue because the players didn't re-sign with Rare Atom. So now Rare Atom said, hey, we want a new lineup. A reminder, so they did not go with a full Chinese lineup.
That's definitely one way of putting it,
They did not go with a full Chinese lineup. They are not the first, and they are not the last Chinese team to not go with a full Chinese lineup because Ty Lue just ended their experiment with Emmy and, what was it, Roga? Yeah, Emmy and Roga. And Wings Up, who we'll talk about in a minute, also added non-Chinese players. So Rare Atom took somebody on loan from Ty Lue, like very clearly
the
on
the player somebody as well, we should clarify.
Yes, yes. Summer and X-Pro, Summer who had previously played for Ty Lue, and then X-Pro who had previously played for LinVision. And then brought in Corey, who is a Sengal player, and Fozy, who you may remember was the 6th man on NIP for a while they couldn't figure out what they were doing with the
device. And also went to Sengal. They were both on Sengal together.
And also played on Sengal. But you mostly known from the NIP.
Fozy is a pretty solid AWPer in like tier 2 EU. He obviously had his little bit of time at tier 1 EU where he didn't disgrace himself either.
That's all you can ask
for. Yeah, I mean, he was replacing Device. Like, he was always going to be somewhat underwhelming compared to what Device can bring. But in terms of what Rare Atom would want, he's probably pretty good, assuming he's able to communicate with the rest of the team, which I've got no idea. I don't know.
So this team boggles my mind the same way that this team that the old Ty Lue team, not the current Ty Lue team, also boggled my mind with, what was it? Peacemaker was over there?
Peacemakers.
If you say
Peacemaker in the mirror 3 times, he comes and coaches your team and then gets kicked 2 months later.
It was Letney. Yeah, Letney was the coach over there.
Peacemaker's like probably coached Tyloo. I don't know, but he probably has.
I'm certain he has. That sounds like a Peacemaker thing. Okay, so the reason that we're talking about this is because Rare Adam said they were getting back into CS2. And Rare Adam had a very good CSGO roster until they chose not to resign.
Yep.
So there's part of me that believes in this to a degree. That says...
Somebody will never be a known quantity. You could watch 140 games back to back of somebody and still have no idea what he's going to do next time. His only tendency is to do something you've never seen before. He is a genuinely insane person. There is something wrong with him in the way he sees the game, and that is why I love him. He is a lunatic, but he is nothing. He will never be a known quantity. It's not possible to, because he doesn't know what he's about to do. So it's not possible for anyone else to. Lunatic. I love it.
This team is going to be... This team is fun to watch. I'm going to watch many games of this team because there will be a huge disconnect between the three Chinese players and the two non-Chinese players. The IGL is one of the Chinese players. It's X-Pro.
Okay, I wasn't aware.
Yeah, no, the IGL is X-Pro. So there is some sort of... Everyone's rocking second languages all over the board here.
Yeah, yeah,
and
true.
I don't think somebody or Summer have ever played on a team with...
They will at Tyloo, I'd imagine. Some variation of the Tyloo rosters. Like, they would have had to communicate in some language that wasn't Mandarin.
No, they taught them... They were what, Serbian?
Yeah.
MU was Serbian, so they taught them Serbian, and then
that'd be amusing. That would be good.
That would be funny. Okay, let's get to the third Chinese team, because this one may be the most interesting.
Possibly
Wings Up. We've covered Wings Up before.
I have to go look at the roster again because these rosters all blended to one in my mind. And I've just got no idea what's going on.
So it's Martin, Child King, Gas, Ian, and Bingo. They replaced Bingo with Flying.
And
also Martin was a sub for a while, and now things have happened.
Yeah, so
but this roster played in they've been playing in a bunch of the open qualifiers, but they played in what the fuck did they play in that I cannot remember? They've played in Pro League before.
They were in some of the ESL Challenger events as well. Like last year, they beat OG at one. That was a while ago now. They were in the major... No, that was the mod. It feels like they've been in something recently, around. But I can't remember what it was.
Yeah, no, I'm in the same boat.
Am I going mad?
I feel like they were in
I feel like I'm going mad. I'll go find it. We'll... You keep talking.
Okay. They were in Pro League Season 17.
All right, there you go.
So they removed two of their players, of which does it really matter which ones they removed?
It does, because Child King's good, and he's been removed.
Okay, so Child King has gone to the bench. He's now officially considered a substitute.
I like Child King.
Martin has left the roster, and they've added Marek. They added Merrick for a bit. They've added Bogus, which is a player I've never heard of.
Yeah.
Just for what it's worth. They were on Sampy and before that, Isuba. The important player is the second one, which is Kriaz, who has played for all of the teams.
All of the Swedish and weird mixed teams.
Yeah.
He's one of those players who's without trying to be mean, whenever you see him on a roster, you know the roster's a bit doomed. Mihu was
so he played with Shox, the Estonian Shox, not the Belgian Shox or
French Shox.
French Shox, all three English of which have different name spellings. Yeah, but he played with Shox and Robin and Kares and Mar on Finest, which is one of those like. Random mixed teams that feels like it's.
I know you've
had
to look that up, but can you imagine if somebody like just knew that without having to look it up? I'd be really worried for them.
There is a bunch of teams I just randomly know the roster without having to look it up. That is not one.
Like that's. He's one of those players that just like he seems to constantly join doomed projects.
Yeah. It's kind of all over the place. So what we've learned, our important bit here, China is no longer China unless it's Tai Lu. So basically, we're back to 2018.
Yeah, I mean, the real winners are just Tai Lu. They signed the best, probably the best Tai Lu signed team the best in China. Certainly the best players in China.
Yeah, I mean, Tai Lu now will be a top three team in Asia, right? Your other contenders are Lin Division, who I think Tai Lu's probably better than, and Mongols, yeah.
Maybe somebody else, like Eruption or something.
But China just got a little bit more competitive. I'd say that these rosters...
I feel like Tai Lu have signed the best team and everyone else is kind of downgraded.
The old Tai Lu roster was not competitive, and this one now is. But, and I wouldn't say that the Rare Atom roster isn't competitive.
We'll see. I'm skeptical.
Okay.
I'm especially skeptical of Wings Up.
Oh, extremely.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the first set of big news from last week, because there's two sets. So small stories at the front. Big story, small stories, big story, okay? Let's talk about Zanuck and the Falcons and Exitas.
So when you wrote Zanuck, I assumed that was just a... I assumed it was a typo, and you are making a joke.
I actually wrote Zanuck. Zanuck, famed coach. What is it? He's had five major wins now? Yeah. A large amount of major wins. I'll give the quick TLDR of what has been reported has happened, and then we'll talk at length about it. It was time for contract renewal. Vitality lowballed Zanuck a little bit, and Zanuck could have resigned, but then the Falcons came in and said, "Hi, we will give you all of the money." And Zanuck said, "Oh, you will give me all of the money?"
Yeah.
And that was the end of the conversation. Falcons apparently were trying to bring Lars, who's their manager.
I think they already did, didn't they? Yeah.
They did. They did, but they were already previously to the Zanuck thing. They were trying to bring Lars, and then found out Zanuck was also possibly available, and brought Zanuck as well. There is rumor here as well that not only will it be Zanuck and Lars leaving, that Majisk may also leave, and that would bring them all to Falcons, which is a team that still has NBK on it.
Yeah, but for how long? I mean, there's rumors of them trying to sign Nico, Monacy, Twist.
I think the rumors were Nico, Monacy, Twists, and there was talk of bringing Majisk over, and then I guess you just keep Boros?
Yeah, I don't know. I have no idea. I think there was some murmurings of Dupree, but I'd be surprised because I believe Dupree's already signed with something.
We'll talk about Dupree later today.
I think he's already signed.
We have more stuff with that. Yeah. So first of all, ridiculous thing going on. We're starting to get the Premier Leagueization of Counter-Strike. Where the Saudis, all the rich Saudis buy into the Premier League and then dump a shit ton of money in. If you didn't know, Falcons is owned by the Saudi government. Is it the government?
It's wishy-washy, isn't it?
It's complicated.
Yeah, it's always difficult.
It's complicated. We'll stay away from that for the time being. But they have a large amount of money, whoever owns Falcons. Yeah. So they were able to pay Zanuck. So the assumption now is that there's going to be a little bit of a shuffle here. So Zanuck is going to go to Falcons. We assume basically all this team is dead. I'd be willing to bet that Boros probably isn't.
Because they did spend a lot of money. And they do want to keep some level of Middle Eastern representation.
Yeah. I also think Boros is very good. Well, yeah. I think it would be in Zanuck's best interest to keep Boros. Past that, I assume NBK is gone, Body's gone, MHL's gone, and maybe Lounx is gone. There's a case for keeping Lounx, but
I think if you didn't sign Mitchell, you just keep Lounx and Boros and work with that. Because again, they paid money for Lounx. I mean, I know money's essentially no object for them, but it just seems like a waste.
Yeah. Yeah. So we're going to have a little coaching carousel happen here. because Zonic leaving Vitality now leaves a spot open with Vitality, who's currently the best team in the world. Or the second best team. I guess it depends on the week. But currently a top three team in the world. Yeah. I can say that certainly without fail. So there have been rumors, and we actually know for a fact, that Exitaz has left the TSM project that he started 5 months ago.
Was it five months ago?
I'm guessing 5 months ago.
Two weeks ago.
Well, no, we started hearing the rumors 5 months ago, and then it took four of those months to actually get some shit together. And then we got the roster, because they had differences. So with that, there is heavy rumors that Exitaz will be heading to Vitality, which makes sense because he was the Vitality coach prior to Zonic. He knows Zywoo. He knows Apex.
Yep.
He does not know the two Israelis or Majisk, but there is a high probability, it seems, that Majisk will be leaving. Again, rumors all around. High probability Majisk will be leaving. So they'll be able to bring in their own fifth player to bring the roster together.
Yep.
We have no clue who that is, because we're now acting within rumors.
Well, quite, yeah. I'm not even sure. Like, I'm not convinced Majisk is going to leave. He might, but I'm not. That's true.
I got nothing.
I don't see why he would want to leave Vitality.
So there's a case to be made that Majisk will be the IGL on Falcons.
Yes.
That if Majisk moves, it's because Zonic wants him to IGL the team. And it will be
It's up to him whether he wants to do that, I suppose, yeah.
Yes. Okay. Do you have any more to say on Zonic, Falcons, and Exitaz before I jump into our next set of speed round move things?
I think it's a good test. We know that Zonic has won a lot. But it would be nice to see if he is that good a coach, can he win on a third different roster? Because you kind of have to assume he's a really good coach because he wins, but it's kind of difficult to tell how good a coach is. Yeah, like it's quite difficult in TS to know how good a coach is.
So. I mean, the problem with the he wins statement here is
he doesn't win.
He's a really good coach. He had the best team in the world.
Yeah.
Up until he had the next best team in the world.
Yeah, but I mean, there's arguments as to how good they were when he joined, and you know, he probably is the best coach, but it's really difficult to know how much a coach does. Like it really is. So if he does it for the third team, I think he becomes undeniable.
Yeah. To be fair, I'm pretty sure it's like 99 percentile right now. Think there's like three fans of Jame or something that were upset that Avangar got beaten by Astralis, and those are the three people that say Zonic isn't the guy.
I mean,
that's
probably
all we're waiting on before it's unanimous.
It's really difficult to tell from an outside perspective how much a coach does. There might be coaches who are technically better than Zonic, but nobody stands up to his record.
All right, let's get into the section of IGLs, because there are three of them, which is enough that I decided we need to make a section. There's actually four, but one will deserve its own thing. In the smallest thing of the week, which is officially not a roster move, Hobbit is now IGLing on Cloud9.
Yep.
Which is weird.
Yeah, I mean, it feels like kind of a last resort. But you changed in-game leader. You, like, got rid of your in-game leader to bring in Electronic, and then was like, oh, actually, we don't want Electronic for in-game lead. Like, fine, but I feel like if you didn't want Electronic to in-game lead, you probably should have just had Hobbit in-game leading in the first place. Or just signed an actual in-game leader. But, yeah, what do I know?
Yeah, there were a bunch of rumors that they were looking at signing Boomich.
Yeah.
And Hobbit would be leaving.
Which might
none of those came true as of currently.
It could still happen.
It may still. Yeah. I don't know what to make of this. Hobbit confuses me, but in the best ways.
Yeah.
I think Hobbit is a really, really good player, but I couldn't tell you why.
He's usually pretty clutch. He's like big moments. He is pretty good. Like big games. He often shows up. That hasn't really been the case in this new Cloud9 roster. And somebody has to take the fall. Like somebody has to be the guy who does, you know, the guy who does the shit rolls, the boring shit. And it seems to be, Hobbit, you might as well make that guy in game lead. Makes sense to me, but I don't know how good an in-game leader Hobbit is. I don't think we'll know for a while. But then I'm not even sure Boomich is that good an in-game leader. He's probably quite good, but...
Well, there are players who have said that even though we have said, like, and everyone that's not the player, that, hey, this player should be an IGL. That would make sense for the next step of their career. Sometimes they're not ready for it.
Some people just don't have the personality for it.
Well, that could be the case with Hobbit, but it absolutely was the case with Snacks.
Yeah.
See, look at that segue. With Snacks, who is on Gamer Legion now for Neelan, who's IGLing there now.
Yeah.
And so Snacks basically came out and said that he was not ready last year. A couple teams actually came knocking to try and get his services as an IGL last year, but it didn't make sense for him, and he wasn't ready for it. And he thinks that he's ready for it now. And to be fair, I think that that's some pretty good some pretty good introspective knowledge of like saying, hey, I'm not ready to do this. I'm not going to just sign with you to do it. And feeling that now he is ready
to
do it.
That's one way of looking at it. I think the other way, and probably with Snacks more accurately, is he still thought he was a star player until recently. He still thought he had it in him to be a superstar. And now he's like, oh, yeah, maybe that dream's dead. I'm going to go in game lead instead. Which is fine. Like,
yeah,
if you enjoy playing the game one way, like, you don't necessarily have to stop until you really feel like you have to.
I'm excited to see Snacks continue.
Yeah, I love Snacks. One of my favorite players of all time. I think that's true for most people. I think most people have always loved watching Snacks, and whenever he does well, it's always a joyful moment.
I mean, for me, like, I am New York, ESL One New York, whatever the fuck it was called.
Yeah,
has always been like a soft spot, and him having the biggest play on that stage, it's the same reason why Chris J was great up until
that was also with Snacks.
Up until the Chris J-ification of Chris J.
like Floyd Mayweather dodging jabs left and right.
Okay, let's talk about our third IGL, which is over in America in Team Liquid.
Team America. Oh.
And the thing is, we can say Team Liquid now. Team America now. And in America.
Well, Daps is Canadian. Well,
yeah. Okay, North America. Yeah. We can get close enough. They moved Rain Waker to the bench, which on the surface is probably an okay thing. Mm-hmm. We've talked about at many times how this team is two uber aggressive players and two uber passive players, and then OC holding his arms out and trying to hold them all together.
The Jaeger Bomb team is no more.
The Jaeger Bomb team is no more. With that, says, okay, we need a fifth player. So they have brought in their coach, Daps, who this time has not replaced, who has not been replaced by Stanislaw yet.
They should get Stanislaw in as coach now. That would be really funny.
Stanislaw's playing for Forsaken.
Yeah, I know. Hey. But they just offered to double his wages and make him a coach just to
fuck
funny,
with
him. Just
assistant coach. They'll keep the head coach role open.
No, coach, because that was Daps' job. So Stanislaw would get Daps' job. It's just that Daps would get the better job of playing.
So Daps is back to playing right now. Everything that we know says that this is not going to be a permanent thing.
Yeah, well.
Including, I believe,
nothing
Liquid
is permanent.
Saying this is not going to be a permanent thing.
Nothing is permanent. why? Like, it's so fucking boring. Like, God, like what's the end goal here? Like, okay, Daps brings you some stability, but you're never going to know if that stability is a good thing because you're going to have Daps as your fifth player and he's not going to frag and it's just going to be miserable. Who's going to frag on this yeah. team?
Well, I think the hope is that with we'll talk about Kadian in a bit. With Yekindar not having to IGL, that Yekindar will be fragging. That's the same bit to this, is that moving Daps in means IGL goes to Daps and Yekindar will not IGL anymore.
Yekindar is a strange case. He was a pretty aggressive piece on Versus Pro, absurdly aggressive in the sort of early rounds. Virtus Pro, as far as I remember, he actually did entry on executes a lot more. Then he became a sort of more selfish player where he would play aggressive in the early rounds and not really entry. He moved to Liquid, and because he's now the star of Liquid, and he was, you know, paid a star player's wage and he had this big name and everything, he started playing more selfishly, and then they signed Patsy so that Yekindar could call around himself and be the star, and Patsy could go do all the aggressive nonsense, and it just isn't working. And what you've done is you've turned Yekindar into like a worse version of Elige, and then downgraded on Yekindar to Patsy, who is a worse version of Yekindar, and then you signed Rainwaker, who's a worse version of Naf, and then kept Naf anyway, and now you've got Daps, who's a worse version of Nitro. Well, we'll call that one even for now, but...
Well, Daps can't op. I think that's your...
Everyone
actually, Nitro
can op.
Can't really op either.
Actually, now it's CS2, nobody can op, so that's fine. It feels like they've just spent the last 6 months downgrading every role, and now they have no firepower.
But I also think that in downgrading every role, they probably brought their costs up to a degree.
It feels like they gambled that Patsy would find the level he had at Antwerp, which is a gamble because he hasn't been that player for a little while. I think people watch some of his demos and quickly realize all of his tendencies and how to exploit them, and he's never really been the same since. They gambled that Yekindar would be both an in-game leader and a star player. He's kind of not as good as either as he was at his previous sort of roles. Mm-hmm. They gambled that OC was genuinely good, and he's fine. He's not a superstar AWPer. He has his moments, but he's pretty serviceable as long as you have the rifle calls that we associate with the name Team Liquid. But they don't currently have that, and it kind of puts the spotlight on OC as being, you know, not this superstar AWPer. He's not the level of AWPer that the other big teams have. And Liquid just feel very confused at the moment. They kind of don't have a style, like an identifiable style of play. Their main man is supposed to be Yekindar, and he's kind of lost his way a little bit. I guess that's the idea in Daps, is like, right, we'll put in a system. We'll put in a style, a set of protocols. Then we'll find an in-game leader who can advance that, but we need this blueprint because under Yekindar they seem to have lost their way. I guess that's the idea, but right now they are in a state of flux and they are not very good at Counter-Strike. They got battered by Complexity the other day.
So I want to bring up an interesting point that I learned recently. So Team Liquid of technically Europe do not have another match.
Oh yeah, this year, right?
Until the qualifiers for the Copenhagen Major.
Yeah, I mean they'll probably make some.
They'll correct, but they don't. They are not officially like they have not been invited to any events. There's nothing left for them this year. I mean, it's October, and I think early December is when we normally hit player breaks and stuff. So they're not in Sydney, which is our next big event. And they're not in the CS2 Asia Championships. I think they pulled out of that, actually.
Well, I like this. I actually like this. I think if you're going to rebuild your style. You're really going to rebuild your systems and figure out a way of playing. It takes time, and you want to give Daps, because if you're assuming that with Daps it's a downgrade in firepower and you're not going to be good, but what he offers as a mind of the game is worth it. Just give him the time.
Yeah.
Don't bother with officials. Give him time to actually figure shit out before you commit to having to play officials. You're still going to play scrims. You can still go to like local events and play online games. But also with the advent of a new game, you don't want to muddy the waters. Like, actually just take some time to figure out how you want to play Counter-Strike. I actually like this from Nick.
I'm a huge fan, as long as they do something.
Yeah, well, quite.
That is the big qualifier here. They need to do something. The CS2 major open qualifiers, and I say qualifiers because we don't know right now whether they will be in the North American qualifiers or the Europe qualifiers. It depends on what roster they submit for the major.
I also think when they do come back, they need to play a lot of games very quickly.
Yes, I agree. So major RMR open qualifiers start Jan 8, so they don't have a game officially until then. I think that's assuming they don't go to Katowice.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, actually, Katowice is at the end of the month.
It's, yes.
It won't matter. So, okay. All right. That's our liquid bit. Two more moves, and then the big one. Apex Stiko.
Yeah, I don't like this.
No mas.
Don't like this.
This is a poor decision.
If it's a poor decision, I just don't like it. I've always liked Stiko. I will always like Stiko as a player, and he feels like a key part of what Apex want to do.
I feel like Stiko has always been the more than the sum of his parts player, right? That you don't look at him and say, oh, he's a great rifle. Oh, he's a great. He's the do-it-all guy. Yeah. He's the jack of all trades.
Yeah, he's actually quite underrated as an individual, I think, because of that time on Mouse. Outside of that Mouse, outside of that little sphere of Mouse, he's actually been a very good player, very good mechanics, good mind for the game. He can do the sort of the anchor spots, the difficult stuff, like the going in first. But he can also impact the game in a more, in better roles. He can actually play the spots with more authority, and he can actually play them quite well. He is as you say, a jack of all trades, and he's actually quite good at most things in the game. And I think it's a shame as well, because I think everyone kind of likes Stiko, but Apex clearly think there's some sort of misalignment between the way he wants to play and everyone else. So I guess it makes sense to cut him, but I don't like it.
No, I don't either. They brought in Sense from their Rebels team. It seems like they want to stick with him. That's officially he's moved up. The next player on our list is Favin from Big. So after Big did their whole whatever they did,
God knows.
I don't even know how to explain what Big did. I guess it's mostly removed Favin and Keto and added Sin and Process and Mantu, but also removed Hyped. Yeah, I think that's what it is. Favin isn't on the active roster anymore. We originally stated that he was getting benched because I think he was having a kid. That it was not going to be permanent.
Yeah, but it is. Yeah.
But it is. And he's gone out and said, hey, I'm benched. I would like to be on a team. There is a buyout involved. Please reach out.
Where's Rare Atom?
So I think that really that would be a good move. I'd be in for that.
Of course you would.
I'm in for chaos. Chaos is where I live.
Team
That's
Liquid.
Where I thrive. Yeah. Have you ever? I'm wearing a Liquid hat right now. It's a chaos move.
Yeah. Favin to Team Liquid.
Oh God, no.
That's what I mean. Get him in. Chaos.
Well, no, because I don't want to spend much more time on Favin.
We kind of don't know what we're getting from Favin because of recently. He was a really good player on Sprout. He's had his problems this year. He can be, at his peak, he is a very, very good player. But it's just been a little while since we've seen it, and he never really showed it on Big. But on Sprout, he was a demon.
Yeah. Okay. Let's get to the last bit.
Yeah, I think you need to go soon, right?
No, I just got told I'm good for another 27 minutes.
Oh, okay. That's very nice.
Well, other coworkers of mine are running to lunch and such. So, okay. Let's get to the other important one. We have like three kind of important ones this week, if we're counting the liquid one to be important. Kanian, the in-game leader, AWPer, face of, etc., Heroic, has left Heroic.
Yeah. This version of Heroic, I think it was Blessed. No matter what you think of him, this version of Heroic is now dead. Like, no matter what happens, the next version of Heroic will not be the same team, because that team is not the same team without Kadian.
Yeah, so there's a lot going on here. So let's start with the why. Heroic and Kadian both came out and said, hey, this is not a bad thing. This is not like a bench thing. This is not like a we're kicking him from the team thing. Yeah. It seems to be that both parties just kind of disagreed on how they wanted to move forward. We had heard that Kadian wanted to make certain roster moves. The Orc did not want to make those roster moves. And the two parties just amicably agreed to not continue anymore.
Which I'm sure is how that's how they want it to be perceived.
Oh, absolutely.
Whether or not it was as amicable as represented is, you know, we'll never really know, but.
Yeah. So with that, it means that Heroic is looking for something. And I specify something because there's a lot of moving variables. And
there's very few players like Kadian as well.
Well, so on the basis, they're looking for a new IGL and a new op player. Mm-hmm. IGL ops don't really exist unless you're looking in Brazil.
Yeah. Or you want somebody really bad.
Yeah, or you want like someone not great. So that's an issue. So there's a couple variables here. So there have been a lot of rumors that Staun will take up the op role. There's also been rumors separately that Staun will take up the IGL role.
Mm-hmm.
There's also rumors in addition to that that Staun will take up AWP IGL. Mm-hmm. And then there's a fourth set of rumors that say Staun is staying exactly as he is and nothing is changing with Staun.
Yeah.
Staun is the player to watch here, though, I think.
Yeah.
Best way to put this.
Yeah.
Because whoever Heroic pick up, Staun will be doing what they're not doing. If Heroic pick up an IGL, Staun will be AWPing. If Heroic pick up an AWP, Staun will be IGLing. If they pick up just like a random rifler from the street, Staun will be AWP IGLing.
We assume. I mean, we don't know, but we assume.
We assume that it's what feels the most.
He was the secondary AWPer. He's also one of the more passive players on the team as well.
He is a very good AWPer too. Like, this is not a, like, we're moving up, I don't know. I'm trying to think of, like, we're moving Rain to be primary AWPer or something like that. Or we're moving Kerrigan to be the primary AWPer. Yeah. Staun could probably be an AWPer on any other team.
They might do the old five rifles thing, the way they play. Like, they could probably get away with it, but.
You mean ye old liquid roster?
Yeah. Which, is, you know, they kind of quickly then started AWPing. Maybe that's what Heroic need Nitro.
No, Nitro is signing to M80, which is a Valorant Ascension
team. Yeah, of course he is. Look,
because it doesn't revolve him being on LAN.
Part of the
I seriously mean that. It means he doesn't have to travel unless they get to the Ascension tournament, where then he has to go to LA to play.
Yeah, and he doesn't even have to leave the country. One of the issues Heroic have is that they are a full Danish team, and part of the thing that has made them very good, we assume, is that because they communicate in their own language, their communication certainly feels from the outside much better.
Well, do they communicate in their own language? And Exist is Swedish.
He probably knows enough Danish. Even if they talk to him in English, during the game, they'll be speaking Danish. But, and you can tell, like, their comms, their protocols are all flawless. So the two problems they have is because they're Danish, that really limits their pool of available players. And then, and therefore finding either an AWP or an IGL becomes harder. There's not many good AWPs in Denmark. There is plenty of IGLs, but a lot of them are already taken. But also, Cadian, if he was in charge of this system, they might be losing something greater than who, like greater than Cadian, as it were. Like if you lose the blueprint, the whole system can fall apart. So realistically, what Heroic need is a Danish AWPing in-game leader, just like Cadian.
But I got it.
Unfortunately, the only other candidate has just retired, which is MSL.
He's all come genuine, right out of retirement.
2018 MSL is the only player they could possibly sign, and he doesn't exist anymore. So you're left with like throwing money at Blame F, having Stown AWP. Yeah. Feels weird, especially as he's just signed a new contract.
Well, Blame F, I think, has officially declared forever that he will be with Astralis until they kick him off or some bullshit.
I mean, that, don't know what that's really worth.
Yeah.
You could always do the all power of evil.
I mean, here's the thing. I don't think Heroic can pay Blame F more than Astralis can. So I don't see a good reason for Blame to move.
And then you're looking at, like, do you not sign an in-game leader? Do you sign some young up-and-comer and make Stown in-game lead, run five rifles, or Stown AWP IGL? Do you go international? That feels like a bad idea as well.
That feels wrong.
Yeah, it feels really wrong. Especially as if you want to stay closer, you know, say you wanted one Swede to try and keep with the Danish. Like, there's no good Swedish player to fill in here either.
So I want to talk about the players that we've kind of heard in passing of like, oh, this person. So there's been a big push is the wrong word, but config has been mentioned a lot. I don't like it. I'm saying the words.
Yeah.
Okay.
Config, the dream config has been mentioned. Man. The dream's dead. Like, I loved config, but he's just not him anymore.
One more thing before we continue further in this conversation, we're going to cut this conversation shorter because we're us and we don't have that much like information on it. If you want a huge amount of information about Cadian and stuff, Harry, good friend of us, put a Harry length article on HLTV about how do you replace Cadian. It is well worth a read. I'm going to reference a graphic from it now, with players that were thought of. Someone said Glaive on bringing in as a new IGL and having Stown AWP.
I love it. It won't work, but I love it.
It feels so wrong.
There's something so nice about like bringing back an old in-game leader who was so successful.
Yeah.
Like, after they've been bad for a while and just praying. Like, I'm always on board for Fallen to be signed to somebody new. Fuck it. Yeah. Fallen to Heroic. AWPing IGL. Get him in. Get him in now.
Fury just played so much for him.
Yeah, I know.
Fury
yeah, but so much for just get him in. It'll work. I'm sure this time it'll work.
Yeah, so okay. The next choice there were Harry said something about Regali. I don't think that's a reasonable answer.
I think Regali is a reasonable answer.
I don't because he's not Danish.
He speaks Danish.
He speaks Danish, he's a reasonable answer. Never mind. I take that
like
back.
Like 90% sure.
If he speaks Danish, I'm in.
I'm like 90% sure he speaks Danish. I can't remember why I know this, or I think it's common knowledge, but I'm sure he speaks. He speaks one of the Scandinavian languages, and I think it's Danish.
Okay, so there's the new AWPer, which is bringing Regali. Makes sense. New IGL bringing Glaive, the most famed IGL of all time. In fact,
maybe not the most famed, but the most decorated.
The winningest.
I'm not allowing the word winningest. The most decorated.
Okay. The most decorated.
The most decorated IGL of all time.
You can then also bring in the most decorated player of all time.
Get him in.
Which is Dupree, who we had talked about previously.
Look, Heroic are the team who do everything but win. Do you know who fixes that? The man who does nothing but win. It is a match made in heaven.
I'm legitimately in.
The man who does nothing but win with the team who does everything but win.
here's the big thing with her, with Dupree that I love, is that not only has Dupree just won, like continuously won, I feel like Dupree is still good enough to play on this heroic team.
He's got the aura.
When he got removed from Vitality, and we went, yeah, this is an upgrade. This was for what was it, Flames? I believe at the time, and we were like, this is an upgrade. You're gonna see it, but it won't be like a huge upgrade to start. But in like a year, it'll be a great upgrade because Dupree will keep going down, and Flamesy will keep going up, right? Dupree is still in a great position to play.
Hey, man.
Like, get Dupree is my favorite one
here. I love the idea because nothing would make me happier than Dupree joining a different team entirely and still winning. I just think it'd be great. Like, he's a serial winner. Get him in.
He's just the winningest.
Serial winner.
And then there's this other idea of bring in Altex.
That's just Harry. Harry loves Altex. Yeah.
Most Harry shit I've ever heard.
There was rumors.
There's a
player I don't particularly like, but does fit some of the criteria, which is Essatag. I don't think Essatag
fits
good,
some stuff.
He is a solid AWPer. He's primary AWPed in the past. He's a player who is a soldier as well, which, you know, a lot of their style requires on people just doing what they're told, and he will do what he's told. Nut was rumored, who's a player who plays with AZ, I think, on like Sashi Esport.
Yeah. Bro was rumored.
Yeah, Bro's fine
like for a bit,
but ceilings.
I had seen Xiphon once or twice.
Yeah, I don't mention. I'm not sure I get that one.
Nut.
Yeah, then you're sort of getting into. I mean, Nut and Beyond is probably a little bit not gonna happen.
Yeah. My favorite move that we haven't talked about. I actually have two favorite moves here. One is dumb and should never happen ever, and the other is fun. Valda, now that the TSM project is dying.
Let it go, man.
That's the stupid one. The fun one is Magisk goes to...
Now we're talking.
Heroic.
Now we are talking. The only problem with the Magisk one is that Shush is basically the same player but slightly better.
Who cares?
I mean...
Who cares?
You will struggle to take a sight against Magisk Shush. Like, that is lockdown.
You will be the best CT team in the world.
Magisk is so
on one
good,
site.
Like, Magisk at the major. Anytime Vitality were in any trouble, he would pull out the most ridiculous round you've ever seen. There was what I think it was against Into the Breach.
This is my favorite thing is people go, oh, we need to replace the IGL. Oh, we need to replace the Opera. What about replacing the Clutcher?
Well, yeah.
Kanian is ridiculously known for clutching anything and everything. And Magisk is one of the person to stick into that
Magisk
role.
Magisk is clutch in a different way. Like, he doesn't...
Yes.
He's not a 1v3 machine, but he is a
3v3 machine.
No, he's like, you know, the round's starting to break down. You need a multi-kill from from the last guy on site, and he'll get you two every
time. He's a stabilizer. Yeah. I think that's the best way to say it. He is a stabilizer. He will make sure that you are always having your
There were advantage. So many rounds.
I love...
So many rounds at the Major where, like, Vitality was starting to fall apart, and he would just, like... He's like, yeah, no, fuck it, it's Magisk time. I don't care. And he would just run at a site and headshot three people. He's like, oh, this game's over. Like, Magisk has decided Vitality are winning it. It's the most important round of the game. Magisk gone, yep, don't worry, lads. This round is on me, and he's just fucking destroyed
I got
everyone.
It. I love it. I'm in for the Magisk move. I'm also in for the Dupree move. I'm also in for the Glaive move. Basically, if they had played on Astralis, I'm basically in for it.
I want AZ. AZ to Heroic.
Bring in Zip. No, actually, that is the only move I want.
Yeah, I mean, I'd rather have Altex than Zip.
Yeah.
I think Altex is good. He is really good. And I do think he was very unfairly treated by Astralis. I wouldn't hate that move. I really wouldn't hate that move, but...
All right, we're going to end. Next week, we will talk about Sydney. We should have probably done some preview on Sydney this week, but we're 50 minutes in already, and we're not going to touch it. So Sydney will start on Sunday officially. We'll talk about it on Wednesday when we record. You guys will get it on Thursday, just before playoffs start, I believe.
Yeah.
Yeah, you guys will get it on Thursday, which is the day before playoffs start. So you guys will have a nice playoff warm up, I guess, if you didn't watch the rest of the games. Until that point, you can find us on Twitter at Logan Roundup, at AZSK, and at RootTLDR. We'll be back. Bye.